It's John here, the Auto Responder Guy, coming to you from DropDeadCopy.com and the McIntyreMethod.com. I'm here with Terry Dean, an internet marketing coach. Terry, how you doing
today? Hi. I'm doing great.
Okay. All right, so how about we start this off? We usually talk about email marketing and, you know, all sorts of things, and open rates and how to structure autoresponders and things like that. But how about we start off by you telling everyone a bit about what you do and a bit about what your story and how you got into marketing.
Well, I'm an internet marketing coach. I help people earn more, work less, and enjoy life over at mymarketingcoach.com. And my primary customers are people who are in some type of online information business, consulting. They're authors, they're coaches in their industry, and also helping with e-commerce sites at times. And the way I got started was way back in 1996. So I've actually been online now for 17 years full time.
Wow.
I heard in 1996 like little rumors that some people were making this online thing work. And we're talking way back at the time where it was CompuServe was my very first ISP to use. And some people were making it work. I bought my first PC on a Best Buy credit card, which was one of the few credit cards that I still had access to because of all the debts I had. And bought that computer, basically taught myself how to use the PC, came online, and got started online in the beginning by getting some licensing and reprint rights to a few VHS videotapes. Wow, we're really talking about how old I am here. But VHS videotapes of self-help videos specifically, things like Mark Victor Hansen and things like those, and put up what I call my ugly websites to start selling those online. And before coming online, my last job was delivering pizzas for Little Caesars for $8 an hour. And it only took about a month online before I replaced that income. And before anybody gets too excited, remember, that was a pizza delivery driver income that I replaced within a month. Not like a lawyer or a doctor income, but I replaced that in about a month. And income really quickly grew from there. And you go, you fast forward several years, and people started asking me how I was making this internet thing work. And that's when I started teaching others and helping others succeed. And I spoke all over the place on, teaching internet marketing, what we could do in internet marketing, and built that business up, sold that first business in 2004, and then took some time off, did other projects, traveled at that point, had fun, and, everything else. And I got bored being away from the internet and came back in 2006, specifically created my marketing coach at that point with the goal of coaching and helping directly with entrepreneurs to improve their results online. And that's what I've been doing since then.
Okay. So you've been in the game for a long time.
I've been around a very long time.
But it sounds like you got started real quickly. When you said you replaced your income in a month. It might have been a small income, but you still did it very quickly.
I did it very quickly. So I'm 39 now. So you're talking, when I first got started, I was 22.
Yep.
And I feel like I've been online a long time now. My whole life I've been online.
Fair enough. All right, so let's get into the questions. Number one is basically, what do you like about marketing?
I like having money. That's the first one. Let's just be real honest with it. I like the marketing because before I learned anything about marketing, I didn't have any money. And no matter what business you're in, you're not going to be able to reach anyone. Your business isn't going to succeed unless you know marketing and you're able to put the marketing behind it. And then I'll throw in the personal feeling that I like is, one of my biggest drives is curiosity. And as a internet business coach, what I get to do is I get to help clients. Clients come to me. We take apart their entire business. We put it all back together more successfully. So in other words, I get to do every day what most kids do for fun. Take things apart and put them back together again.
Okay. Well, that's a really good point. So when we talk about marketing, and did you start off with direct response reading things like, Gary Howe was around back then, but did you read some of those old advertising books, or how did you figure it out?
The way I figured it out was there were three authors that I really went to and read from in the beginning. So we're talking 1996. They were Bill Myers, which was big on direct mail, Jay Abraham, and Gary Halbert. And I got a hold of some of their materials, studied them. And basically my first approach to the internet was, here's what they taught about direct mail, because that's what they were teaching at the time, were all direct mail techniques. And I said, okay, here are direct mail techniques. I want to see which ones apply to the internet and which ones don't. And so I just started taking everything that they taught and throwing it up online. and seeing what worked and what didn't work for me. And I sometimes joke that I failed my way to success because I found everything that didn't work first until I found what was working for me.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, I think everyone does that, right? So they're like, the only way to be successful is just to fail enough times to get there.
It is, but you know, I really am thankful for having that background. A lot of, which I think probably of those, Gary Halbert might have been the strongest help to me to getting started. Because the best thing I ever learned was how to write your own copy.
Okay, that was the Gary Halbert letter?
I didn't actually have the Gary Halbert letter, but some of the other products he put out, like he put out a copywriting seminar that I got a hold of, and some other materials like that that were very valuable to me in the beginning.
Okay, so I know you use email marketing, and do you use autoresponders in your business too?
Oh, of course. I use my business is built on autoresponders, and I purposely kind of left that out of my intro. because I wanted to come to, we got to the subject of email marketing, and it was about 6 months in, so we're still talking 1996, and we didn't have all the nice autoresponder systems like we have now. I was using I can't remember the name of the program, but it was like a program that people even bought to do spam with, but I was collecting lists with that software that ran on my own computer.
Yeah.
If people wanted to opt in for my free ebook I was giving them, they'd get added to my list, and that list was running on my own computer to mail out from at that point in time. And it was about 6 months in that I realized something very interesting, and that was each month since I had started, my income had increased right along the size of my list, and the numbers went almost dead even with my list.
Wow.
And I'm one of the first people who said that, because I was watching as my list grew, my income almost went a dollar by dollar per month. So, I mean, if I added 1,000 subscribers, I added $1,000 this month for income. And so it's part of that experience with me and talking about it is why everybody says, you know, a list is worth a dollar per subscriber per month. That was true at that point with that list for me right then.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's true for anybody else. It isn't, you know, true at this point. I actually earn a lot more than that per subscriber at the moment from us. But that's what it was for me. And so it was about 6 months in, I realized that my income was directly proportional to the size of my list. And so I started focusing on the list at that point.
Wow. Okay. So obviously it's really helped. I mean, how has email marketing helped you in your business, besides just that realization that the money is in the list?
My business today still almost totally relies on autoresponder lists. It's kind of interesting, okay, because I have clients that it works both ways. Some products will sell directly, especially low-ticket products. Mm-hmm. Other ones, we put them on a list and we convert. In my own personal business, since I guess the best way to describe it is I teach probably a more practical approach, and the fact that I teach real business and what I try to give people instead of like a quick business opportunity, not fast money, I actually have trouble selling directly. So if I go head-to-head with somebody who's telling people they can get fast money online really easy, if I run a product offer, we'll both run a product offer for $47, head-to-head, he's going to beat me in conversion, because that's what people really want, is that easy money.
Yeah.
And I want to tell them the truth and about the work behind it. So he's going to beat me if we go head-to-head on advertising. But once we include the autoresponders and I get the time to build the relationship, make the connection, I'm going to beat his conversion badly at that point.
Okay.
With my email list. So head-to-head sales, he'll beat me. But once you add in the relationship building, now you can tell people the truth and make even higher sales than that person ever could.
Right. And one thing that I've been trying to tell people a lot is that, I mean, so an autoresponder, there's nothing special about it. It's just about building that relationship. And when you build that, it makes the selling or the sales letter somewhat superfluous, because they know, like, and trust you.
It does. I've had products before that the sales letter didn't even matter. You'll have a portion of your list that you could send them directly to the order form and even skip the sales letter.
Okay. But you still use sales letters, right?
Oh, I still use sales letters, sales videos, all the other parts that we would use in a business, you know, and that other people talk about. I use all of this, but my whole income still relies on the list. It's relied on the list for 17 years now.
Okay, so you have, I've been talking to a few different email guys lately, and it sounds like this idea of having an email-based business is very realistic.
It is, and of the clients I work with, the majority of them are an email-based business. Even the ones that are e-commerce, where we generally, if somebody's in an e-commerce business, especially if the products are lower priced, we'll sell the products first, but they're still in an email list business because now they have a customer list.
Right.
And that's what, and their whole long-term income relies on that customer list and what we do after the sale.
Okay. That makes sense. So what do you see as the purpose of, like, when you got into email marketing and when you do it now, what do you think is the overall purpose or strategy of, you know, using email marketing or autoresponders?
Well, let's make it real simple here. The purpose of the autoresponders is to make more sales.
Okay.
That's my purpose. And see, people forget that, I think. And once you forget that that's our purpose, to make more sales, you'll start writing the emails wrong. And we'll say this. Like an example I'll give is the hardest thing for me to fix for a client is when they come to me and they believe that, you know, content is king.
Yeah.
And all they've been doing with the list is they've just been sending out content after content for, we'll say, 6 months to a year. Almost everything they send out is just the pure content. They don't do pitches. They don't do anything else. That list is hard to transfer over and make sales from. Really hard. Because the moment we make any pitch whatsoever to that list that they've only done content to, they're going to get angry about it. You know, why did you all of a sudden become, you know, money hungry and everything else? So don't forget the purpose of the email list is to make sales. That's my first and primary purpose. And I'll say it this way. The best way to describe it, the best way for anybody to understand email simply, is it is a sit-down, lunch conversation with your best prospects.
Okay.
Which means I will, you know, I'll be casual, I'll be your friend, we'll discuss things, I'll tell you some stories about my life, I'll do all this, but I'm going to ask for the sale.
Right.
That's going to happen.
Okay. So do you get many people who get angry at you? What do you tell those people when they send you an email and they complain about you being money hungry or that type of thing?
I actually don't get those very often anymore. I used to get those a lot years back. I can't explain why it's dropped in the past few years. Maybe now they just know I am. Okay, but back then, it bugged me a little bit when you get the email saying, all you want to do is sell. You know, and I would tell them the answer to that simply is, you know, this is a business. That's what I teach. I run this as a business. I do not run this as a hobby.
Right.
So, and if you come into the store, that would be like going, you know, into your local store, your local grocery store, and wondering why they have prices on everything.
Right. It seems like people forget that when they sign up to an email list, they're giving a business their name. It's not just, you know, it's a business. They're there to make sales, and that's it.
Yeah, but don't understand, it's not like I'm in your face selling all the time. As I said, it's still that sit-down lunch. I'm not sitting there pressuring you the whole time buying. I'm being your friend. We're having discussion. I'm giving some content there, you know, some educational content along with stories and entertainment. You know, we're having fun here.
Hmm.
We might joke around or whatever else, but I'm going to make the sale.
Okay, that's interesting. And so, obviously, so you have no qualms, like you don't feel guilty at all, because I know some people do, you don't feel guilty at all about pitching them, about making that sale, about telling them why they should buy.
No, not at all. And one of the things that helped me get over that was the realization that everybody's buying. Okay, all of us are buying. Okay, you're buying something, I'm buying something, we're all buying something.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that the products I'm offering are the absolute best choice they can make. And so that's one of the first things people need to do is they need to get persuaded that what they're offering is the best choice for their customer. And if what I'm offering is the best choice to my customer, then I owe it to them to do my best job of presenting it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Is that if you have a good product, something that truly adds value to someone's life, you've done them a disservice if you don't try and sell them on the product.
You have. And the way I also think about it, remember the field I'm in? I see myself as going against the people saying that it's all easy, you know, money's easy, all you have to do is just follow this one model and you'll make a whole bunch of money.
Yep.
I'm against that. And so I see it almost as a mission that I'm going to save people from that mistake, you know, and give them the reality of the business. So, you know, that's what I want for them is I want to see them successful.
Okay, great. Okay. So let's get into like some of the nitty-gritty. How do you get people to opt into your list or to your autoresponder?
The model I found most successful in a variety of markets is what I call the cheat sheet model. Okay, and the cheat sheet. This years back, what worked best for me was giving people a full ebook. Then you'll see some people give full audio or full. I've tested all of these different approaches, but the last couple of years, the best approach has been something very simple, and let me give you two variations of the simplicity here. The first one is like a cheat sheet model where you give them several cheat sheets. that's going to make the process easier. And the reason that one's so successful is instead of somebody having to read, you know, a 30-page ebook, they now get something that's 2 pages, 3 pages long that gives them the details they need quickly because every market, every customer is overwhelmed. So that's the first one. So that's the first model. The second model that works extremely well, which I haven't been using in all my business, but I'm going to have to apply more because how well I see it working for those who are applying it, and that's doing like a front-end short survey type approach, and the gift then that you're offering is customized results to your survey. And it's all built into the software system that you would set up for that. That works even better than the cheat sheet model when you do it. Plus, you're able to segment off the list from the beginning.
Okay, so you would ask. Okay, so you would have a survey. Someone fills it out, and then they have to sign up to get their results. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Okay. They're going to sign up to get results. That works really for multiple things. You know, for the segmenting, for the fact that now you can do, you know, send them customized messages for them. Right. Plus, they want the results, which increases the double opt-in confirmation results as well.
Okay. And there's software that you can use to do this?
There are software programs to do this. There's also, besides just the software programs to do it, there are, you know, sometimes we've used custom design programs that weren't too difficult to create. So there's a lot of ways to do it. I'm not doing that as much as I will in the future. So you'll see most of my sites probably will be like that if we go 6 months, years down the road. Right now, most of my sites currently do the cheat sheet model.
Okay. So like a cheat sheet of relations, like whatever the problem is that these people need to get solved, you help them out, help them solve that with a 1 or 2 page PDF that you know, helps them with whatever problems they have.
Yes. For example, my current main opt-in gift is it's an issue of my paid newsletter that I sell.
Yep.
That's a $29.95 a month newsletter. It's an issue of that newsletter. Plus, there's 4 cheat sheets that come with it on email marketing. That's my core main offer right now for the people to join my list.
Okay. So once they sign up, then they do send the cheat sheets to their email address?
After they do their confirmation.
Okay. So you do the double opt-in.
Yep, I do. For that list, it's double opt-in. It depends on whether I'm going free traffic or paid traffic. Okay. If I'm doing like joint venture traffic, interview traffic, blog traffic, I do double opt-in.
Yeah.
If I'm doing paid traffic, such as pay-per-view traffic,
yeah,
you know, cost, whichever way you want to say it, or let's see, another one I use for that sometimes is pay-per-click traffic, also goes to the single opt-in. I use single opt-in for those because I have trouble getting the confirmation many times.
Okay, that's interesting. So, I mean, that's a really interesting point you bring up about the cheat sheets and stuff, because I reckon most people, and I don't even know if they ever did, but those ebooks, when you say, you know, sign up here and download this ebook, it's number one, I think almost no one reads the full ebook. They might read a few pages and then they forget about it. And then it also means that they signed up to receive that ebook, but they don't want to receive any more information from you. They haven't agreed to any of that. So when you go and send them an autoresponder, they're not happy.
It's interesting. It's not that they're not happy. It's sometimes they don't. They just don't open it. That's the problem you run into.
Okay. So what about your sign-up pages? How do you structure these? Are these like a sidebar opt-in form? Do you have a landing page that's just a landing page?
For my blog, there's a sidebar opt-in form, plus there's an opt-in form that runs across the top as an example. So, yes, I use those on blogs and content sites many times. But if I'm doing any type of paid traffic or joint venture traffic, it's going to go just to a squeeze page that all it is to make the opt-in. That's all we're going to go for.
Okay.
And even then, it changes on length. Like, again, my pay-per-view traffic, very short opt-in form. Okay, you know, usually headline, maybe a post-headline opt-in. That's pretty much all I run in pay-per-view traffic for it. Sure. If we run pay-per-click, you've got to do a lot more to get past the quality score with Google, so you'll have more content to page, often a couple of pages to the, you know, to the content to get through it all. So it changes by where you're doing it. For solo ads, another one that I get a lot of subscribers from, that type of traffic usually has a little bit more content than like the pay-per-view. Headline, subhead, some bullets, opt-in, usually testimonials there also to add proof to it.
Okay, that's cool. So what about the opt-in form? It sounds like it just varies depending on what traffic source you're using. But what do you think about the classic advice of putting the opt-in form above the fold?
It's always above the fold for me. So that's 100% true.
Okay. Have you tested, you know, having like a full page of, you know, 1,000 words of text and having a form at the bottom? All right, that hasn't worked, or?
I've tested it, but I've never been able to outproduce having the form above the top, above the fold also.
Interesting.
So I've So what I found when I did that, and it worked well for me, is I still ran the opt-in above the fold, plus I ran another one at the bottom.
Okay. And then where did you get more opt-ins?
Where did I get more opt-ins? It still was the one above the fold.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Because one thing I've heard some people say, it actually works better for me, is I have a page on my site. It's got about 1,000 words of copy, and then the opt-in form is, you know, tucked in at the bottom of the page. And I've done this for clients before, and they end up getting more opt-ins by making it harder to opt-in like that as opposed to easier.
Yeah, I've tried it before, and I've never had that experience.
Yeah. So I think the main thing that I think the takeaway there is, I think people need to do it in the sequence. Kind of like think about where's the brain of the prospect right now, and if they're ready, if they're at that point where they're ready to sign up, then go ahead and put it above the fold. But if they're not, then give them some warm them up with some copy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So how often do you send emails, Gary? Daily, weekly, or monthly?
My emails for my own list is between 2 and 4 times a week. How often I end up sending them out.
Okay.
And most of my clients are pretty much in that same level of frequency as well, in 2 to 4 times a week.
Okay. Do you write, are these emails that you write each week, or do you load all these into an autoresponder?
The way my system currently works is we have, it depends on different lists. We'll just talk about one of the lists. One of the lists, we run 30 days of autoresponders that are 4 messages a week at first. So the first, those are all set in the autoresponder. After that, it goes into the broadcast I'm doing. That's the list. So I use a combination, mixture of both.
Okay. You do the 2 to 4 times a week so that if you send broadcasts out, they're not getting too many emails?
During that first 30 days, they're not receiving the emails, other broadcasts from me.
Okay. All right, cool. And you suggest to your clients to do 2 to 4 times a week?
That's where we get the best results for the time invested.
Okay. So you can do daily, you get more results, but it will take too much time.
That's what I found for most of my clients is it isn't worth the increase in time with other responsibilities they have in the business to do.
Okay. So I'm curious, how automated is this when you're talking about your business or your client's business? Can you walk away from it and the emails keep getting sent out and you keep making money for a couple of weeks or a couple of months at a time? Or do you have to be there sending these emails out and managing the whole operation?
It depends on the business. So the list I was talking about, yes, I would have to send them out. I do have lists that are just totally autoresponder, and you can walk away from them completely.
Yep. Okay. So let's get into the email copywriting. This is, I think, a really interesting one. To start off with, how responsive do you think people are to emails anymore with the amount of spam and advertisements that that bombard people? What's the go with email? Is it still a good thing?
It's still the most profitable thing you can do. That's the answer for that. Is that email marketing is still where people are making the majority of their buying decisions.
Okay.
Even for social media, I have some clients who do use social media with the purpose of building their list. That's the purpose of it, to bring social media, to bring more people to the list.
Okay.
Because that's where we're making the sale from, is on the list and the constant follow-up. So it's a definite.
Okay.
They're buying. And if I had to compare it to years ago, the funny thing is, I have quite a wide range of viewpoint. I've seen all these different years.
Yeah.
Some years it was harder, some years it was easier. I mean, there was years that we had where they made it very difficult to get broadcast through a bunch of servers. Okay, so those were some, 2004 was one of those.
Yeah.
That it was really tough that year for email. Right now, looking at the numbers I do and other people do, we're still at a very good level, and I haven't seen any drop-off in the last years. If anything, I've actually seen improvement.
Okay. So maybe with all the information going around, email is starting to take more priority, which maybe is going to mean it's more effective, not less.
It could be. It might be. Well, it also depends on how you're writing the emails, what you're doing, because if you're just doing, if all you're doing is either just sending out pitches or you're just sending out, content, then your results probably have dropped if you're not doing the relationship building.
Okay. So when you talk about, people can use content to build relationships. How do you balance this idea of, content versus pitching, and how does that work into your framework for relationships?
Well, I see it as there's multiple different levels. And in one of the email courses that I have, and actually just recently did it to my club members, is I showed them that I like to show people that there's 3 circles involved.
Hmm.
Okay, the first circle is the buyer's mindset. Okay, the buyer's mindset, we need to know where the buyer is, what they're thinking right now. Okay, the second circle that's involved, they all connect together, and that is your unique offer. You know, what makes your offer unique? Why is your offer better than the competition? So we have where the buyer's at. We have what we offer and why is it unique from everything else out there, giving them a greater benefit, a greater promise than what's available. And then the third part, and this is the one that really brings in the stories and everything else, and I would call this one the hero aspect, or hero positioning circle. And the hero positioning circle means that not only do I need to understand where the buyer's mind's at, not only do I need to be unique to my offer, but I also need to build a positioning statement where I can become a hero to the market. Okay, and parts of being a hero means that you have a backstory of where you came from. You know, it wasn't difficult for me to tell you where I came from. I tell my backstory regularly of where I came from. That comes in. You have the other stories of your life. You have, we even say this, you have superpowers.
Yep.
Okay, what are your superpowers? One of my superpowers that constantly gets talked about is the fact that I've looked at all these businesses and all these different markets and constantly improved the conversion of their sites. So I have conversion superpowers that we talk about. So you have your hero positioning, and part of your hero positioning is the stories you tell, and that's the best thing that you can do is content that you deliver. Now, I do have I send out some emails that do really well for me when I do it. You know, three steps to do this, or, you know, three different ways to do it. So 21 ways to do that. I have some of those. Those often don't have a story in them. They do well for me still. But a lot of my emails also, you try to make the lesson, whatever the lesson that you want to give, is in the form of a story. And I always think back to cartoons as a kid. What's the moral of the story today, kids? Okay, the moral of the story. So we tell our story. We lead our lesson through that story, making the connection, and then connect the story into what we're offering. It could be your story. It could be a case study from a client. It could just be something that went on with your daily life that you're bringing in. But that's where you really want to go with content, because if all you do is deliver content, everybody has enough content. Hmm. As you said, everybody's getting emails. You know, I can go 100 different places right now and get me some content. So it's not content that's going to set you apart. It's going to be the hero positioning of where, you know, how they connect with you.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like this hero, the way I've kind of framed it up, the way I'm doing it for this new course, is so basically it's a bit like the three parts that you said. You have the prospect, or, you know, where are they at right now. Then you have the product, the offer. And then the way I kind of see it, like, say, email, is just you're just building a bridge between one and the other. So whatever content that you do offer them, it has to be part of that bridge. It can't be off somewhere else. It has to be, it's, you know, another step on that bridge. And that's what the autoresponder or the emails are.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So what do you think about email subject lines?
I like them. Well, email subject lines, you know, there's a lot of different ways that I do subject lines.
Okay.
But probably the easiest way to describe it again here for the beginner is what works best for me is benefit plus curiosity. Or we can even put it the other way, because really the curiosity is the more important part of the two. Curiosity plus benefit.
Okay.
That's what works best for me. Example. Since you sent me over the question beforehand, so I looked at my autoresponder list just to look, you know, in the last 100 messages, you know, to find a couple of emails who did extremely well. And this is the open rate and the sales rate, you know, parts looking at the numbers for things.
Mm.
One of the best subject lines was why customers don't buy information products.
Okay.
You know, why customers don't buy information products. And, of course, there in the story that I told was I was talking about the fact that, you know, we have massive content out there, we have massive information. People aren't going to buy because you're giving them more information. What I found with all my clients is we do much better if we include some type of tool, some type of template, something else that they can use. The closer the product gets to a done-for-you product, the easier it is to sell. And then, of course, leading them into what I was offering and the parts of it that was done for you.
Okay.
Is where we went with the pitch. And so that was subject line of why customers don't buy information products.
Yeah.
Another example to throw you a good subject line was a subject line that said affiliate payouts $4.68 per unique click. $4.68 per unique click.
Okay.
That was a very specific one, but the moment you see that subject line, you're like, okay, that's really specific. I want to know what's in there. And I was basically a case study of an affiliate program that I had promoted that was paying me exactly that much, $4.68. I looked at the stats this morning, and it was actually a two-tier program. So that's where my benefit coming out at the end of that was.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, what do you think about this? So you have the subject line and the from name, you know, that appears in the inbox before the subject line. What do you do with the from name?
Most of the time, my from names are the person who's writing the email. So my from name is Terry Dean.
Okay. Do you use advertising in your business when you create a marketing persona for the main character and give him a backstory and then use that guy as the author of the email?
Yes, that's exactly what I do in that case.
Okay. What about, so how many times do you not only link in emails, but how many times do you pitch in every single email, or do you give them a story and then say, I'll give you the punchline in the next email?
I pitch at almost every email. I'll say 98% of the emails I send out have a link to go buy something.
Okay.
The reason is because I'm doing it to make sales. The rare case where I'm not going to have a pitch in there or a thing is because there's a product that's not ready for you yet. That's the reason. So you'd be going to be teaser to go to the next email. And the only time you'd really see me making more of a connection to the next email than to the product itself is during those product launch times.
Okay.
Where there isn't a product yet and we want to lead to the next one. Because if you had to ask me a choice, like ask me this question, this is the reason it comes back to sales, would I rather people read the next email or would I rather them buy the product?
Okay.
I would rather them buy the product. Because then I'll get them on the customer list and we'll send them a different sequence.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. How about plain text or HTML?
If it's simple, HTML, so we're talking very simple, maybe a header graphic. I get almost the exact same results when I test it of the simple HTML versus plain text. Okay, but if you do a whole bunch of advanced HTML, that just totally destroys the results that I've seen from it.
Yeah.
So you'll see lists that I have that are either they're simple, you know, plain text, or they're very simple HTML, maybe with a banner on it, because I do not see a conversion difference between those when I've tested it.
Okay. But once you start adding in images and nice design and CSS and all that kind of stuff, it just screws the whole thing up.
Yep. That's been my experience of it.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, so obviously, you obviously segment people. Do you have a special way of segmenting people when they come into your list?
The only time I do that is when I have one of the survey type ones, which again I want to do more of, but I don't have as many of them right now.
Yeah.
Once they're on the list, you know, the segmenting. First of all, buyers of course get segmented off. That's the most important of all segmenting. And then I don't do a whole lot of segmenting in my own business besides that, except again whether we're doing a product launch coming up and I want to pull the people off to send them a whole lot more information about one specific subject. We'll do it for those. But other than the buyers, I don't do a ton of segmenting in my own business.
Okay.
And other clients, we do more than that, but we'll just talk about my own to keep it simple here.
Wow. Now, your other clients, I'm curious, so like you do a lot of this internet marketing and information stuff. Are they doing physical product businesses, or are they all information marketers online, or do they have a variety of different businesses?
They have a variety of different businesses. The biggest variety, though, is in what niches they're in. I have a lot of, you know, business-to-business niche, and we're talking about people who are, for example, a coach to dentist. You know, they're the coach to lawyers. You know, that's the industry that they're in. You know, information product coaching, things like that. And then I have physical product businesses, you know, e-commerce businesses, things like that, that I'm also coaching with. All my clients are internet-focused, of course. All of them use email. Not necessarily always in the front end. The e-commerce, it's often what we're doing with customers. But all of them use email heavily and are driven by email.
Okay, that's really interesting. Okay, so what about, so coming to the, I think we're coming to a close here soon, but what are the mechanics of setting up the autoresponder? What sort of, you know, what services do you use?
Well, the simple mechanics, the simplest thing to do is use one of the autoresponder systems like AWeber or GetResponse. I'm using AWeber for one of my main lists. I mean, there's other ways to do it also. Such as setting up on your own server, running it from your own system, running through some of the SMTP servers that you can rent. I have clients who do that with big lists. But AWeber is the simple way for people to get set up. And then also I have one shopping cart set up. I have a private label for them, netofficetoolbox.com. And a lot of my buyers list are in there from their system with shopping, because it's nice, easy to integrate by what they bought and everything else inside the system there. There's a lot of tools out there. The biggest thing is for people to, you know, get something that they know how to use, that's easy for them to use, and to use it. That's the point.
Right.
You know, and don't go cheap here, because there are free services, and I'd avoid the free services.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I use AWeber too. AWeber is great. And the design is MailChimp. Have you had any experience with MailChimp?
I've had experiences with them. I don't use them.
Okay. Fair enough. And so... this is the time when it comes to email marketing, or marketing in general, what is the number one resource you recommend people check out?
Well, of course. What do I always do? I always sell at the end, okay? So the number one resource is a free resource, but you still have to sell the free resource. Go over to the internetlifestylesystem.com, internetlifestylesystem.com, and that'll give you, you know, a good example of one of the short opt-in pages. So this is one of the shorter opt-in page, you know, types. Mm-hmm. And what I give away there is 7 unique ways to write emails that double profits today. Primarily what I'll be showing you there is that's a issue from my print newsletter, $29.95 a month print newsletter, and it goes into email storytelling and telling stories in your emails. In addition to that freebie, you also get 4 free cheat sheets, and those cheat sheets are one of them is 64 email starter ideas, questions and ideas for coming up with your emails, mm-hmm. Some proven subject lines that you can template and use to create some of your emails, some winning introduction sentences, all to help you get started. So those are the cheat sheets you get with it. So if you're doing email, you can imagine that's going to be a really good tool to use. Again, that's all free for signing up for my list, and then you'll get to see what I'm sending out by email also. And then I will try to sell you things.
That sounds good. I'm looking at that page right now. You're using the Facebook opt-in form.
I am using the Facebook. At least that's the one you're seeing.
Right.
It might be split tested for other people who are seeing, and they might be seeing something else there. But Internet Lifestyle System, it'll stay a short page there. So that part will be different. What's going to be tested by people coming here is you might see different how the opt-in form might be designed differently different people.
Okay, fantastic. And where's the best place for if people want to just check you out before they sign up for the list, where's the best place to find you?
MyMarketingCoach.com. Over at MyMarketingCoach.com, that's my blog, and so you can access a lot of content and see a lot of the ideas and other things that I offer there.
Okay, fantastic. Cool.